Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Bledsoe, 12 points in the second half.
The head coach.
Again, his speed. You can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks get the win tonight. 109-105. If you think I'm going to play Green and Growing, you are crazy. It's not going to happen.
What about celebration?
No, not going to play any of it. You beat a team that's 12 games under 500. We don't play music. We shouldn't play music when you beat a team in Milwaukee that's 12 games under 500. This is a game you should win without Giannis, with or without Giannis. Now, I know there's probably not anybody that's really... I know there's not many people probably outside of the Bradley Center yet that was at the game. And I may have missed it on the broadcast itself, but I would like to know if Giannis was at the game tonight or not. What was Giannis on the bench? That's what I want to know. Somebody tweeted me earlier and said Giannis wasn't there. I want to know if you were at the game, was Giannis there? I texted Joe Zinzola, who's at the game, but in that Bradley Center, cell phones are worthless most of the time.
That's where reception goes to die.
Correct. So he very well may not have got my text to reply to my text, but I know he is down there. So I want to know if Giannis was at the game. Secondly, the game itself, 35 points for Chris Middleton. Brogdon's first 30-point game, 32 points for him. Those guys collectively shoot 24 for 33 from the field. They shot 37 free throws. Brogdon was 7 of 8 from the line. Middleton was 7 of 8. Bledsoe was 7 of 11. I bet you can look long and hard the last time those three players took that many free throws in a game when Giannis was on the floor. That's my guess. Now, Middleton, you knew, or you figured, was going to have himself a big game. He did last game too, triple-double. This is his chance to be the guy without Giannis out there. Kind of like when Durant was out, Westbrook got to be the guy in the spotlight, so he's going to take advantage of that and ball out. So you figured that was coming. Brogdon, a little bit surprising. I mean, you knew he had it in him. But obviously, really played well tonight and deserves all the credit in the world and has played fairly well for a good part of this season. So happy for Brogdon to get his 32 points. Greg Monroe, remember him, he played for the Bucks. Traded him for Eric Bledsoe. He had 19 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 5 turnovers for the big man, 9 of 11 shooting. Now, they were blessed, the Bucks were, by a horrible shooting night by Devin Booker. I'm not going to give credit to the Bucks defense for having a horrible shooting night, but he did have a horrible shooting night. 2 of 14, did get to the line 9 times, hit all 9 shots. So the Bucks get a big win. Middleton hit some big shots down the stretch. I'm happy for him. Your bench, even with Jason Kidd not as coach, got 9 points tonight. 3 from Maker, 4 from Plumlee, and 2 from Snell. Dellavedova. So, you fire Kidd, people were upset that Jason Terry was playing. He played 8 minutes in the first half, 13 overall. You were mad about Dellavedova. He was out there in crunch time at the end of this basketball game, right? Dellavedova was out there in crunch time. Okay. Earlier, who's on line one? Who is that?
That's Justin in North Carolina.
Okay. Earlier today, during the press conference, with GM John Horst, he said that Prunty will coach tonight, Joel Prunty, who I like, and they will have more of a plan in place by Friday, the next time they play. And then tonight happened, and the game happened. And during the game, the general manager, John Horst of your Milwaukee Bucks, had a chance to talk to Telly Hughes at Fox Sports Wisconsin. Now, if you're living the Bucks game, you haven't heard this yet. If you listen to the game on the radio, you haven't heard this yet either. But, Baby Tosh, why don't we play John Horst here? This is him and Telly Hughes during the game. Now, remember, 2 hours earlier, about 2 to 3 hours earlier, of 5:30, quarter to six, John Horst said that they would have a plan in place by Friday as far as what was going to happen, but Prunty would be the coach for tonight. That's all that was in place at that point. Now, me, being media guy, thought that probably meant that they had somebody that they wanted to go talk to before making a decision on Friday, whoever that may be.
Sounded like they would have a guy in place.
Fizdale, Van Gundy. There's guys out there.
Rick Pitino.
Oh, stop. The Rick Pitino stuff. So whoever it may be, that's what my thought was. Okay, so maybe they are going to bring in the coach going forward to coach these guys up the second half of the year and get an idea of who they are before the trade deadline here the next couple of weeks, and that way they could have a say on who's going to be on this team for the rest of this year, maybe next year. Okay, I mean, you're going to stick in with kid staff more than likely, but okay, fine. I get what you're doing. Again, now fast forward 2 or 3 hours, and here's John Horst with Telly Hughes.
Pleased to be joined by Bucks General Manager John Horst. Of course, the big news today, a very difficult day. Jason Kidd relieved of his head coaching duties of the Milwaukee Bucks. I think a lot of people want to know why now and what led to it.
Telly, first of all, you know, thank Jason for everything he's done for the franchise. Why now? At the end of the day, we believe this team has great promise and a great future. And we just felt we needed a fresh look, a fresh approach, and a new voice of leadership. And we want to put our team in position to succeed.
And what are the expectations moving forward?
Yeah, I think this is a team that we want to build off of last year's playoff appearance and have consecutive playoff appearances for the first time in over a decade. And a team that should be able to compete and have a chance to get out of the first round. After that happens, we'll see.
And earlier you said that Joe Prunty will be the interim coach for tonight. Is there any news moving forward?
Yeah, so Joe, you know, we fully trust and want to empower Joe in this opportunity, and he'll be the head coach for the rest of the season of this team. And based on that, we'll earn an opportunity to be part of the search, the bigger search of the summer.
And was that decision kind of based on just keeping things together for the rest of the way and then, like you said, going into the summer, maybe reevaluating things?
That's part of it, but it's not continuity for continuity's sake. We believe in Joe. Joe's a professional. Joe's got a ton of experience in this league with winning championships in San Antonio over 20 years as an assistant coach, has been in an interim coaching position for us in the past. We truly believe in him and want to give him full confidence and full power to do this and help us get where we want to get this year.
John, we appreciate your time. I know on a very difficult day, of course.
Thank you, Telly. Thank you.
Okay. As you can tell, I'm trying my hardest right now to be calm. So now let me see if I get this straight. 2 to 3 hours earlier, you say as general manager of the Bucks that you'll have a plan in place by Friday, that all Prunty was assured of was tonight. That was it. Now, 2 to 3 hours later, you as general manager say, oh, we have all the confidence in the world in Joe Prunty. He's definitely our coach for next year, or for the rest of this year, and this will put him in the hopper to possibly get the job next season. But we have all the faith in the world. With all due respect, if you had all the faith in the world, why wasn't this said then at the press conference earlier before you said, well, we have to get a plan in place? And nobody told you yet at that point that Prunty was going to be the coach for the rest of the year and you didn't know? Is that what happened?
You're right, man. You're getting a little pale.
I have been doing this for a while. I've been very critical of general managers. I've been very critical of coaches, of managers, and so forth. As far as John Horst rates right now with me, you can put him at the bottom rung. And we'll see if he works his way back up. Because over the last week of stuff that he has said, and then gone back on, and then said, and then changed his mind on, all this wishy-washy stuff, and I'm supposed to believe that that's the leader of our team, that's the leader who's going to make decisions at the trade deadline, that's the guy that's going to hire the next coach, and I'm supposed to be excited about this? No, man. Nope, not excited at all.
Now, you're convinced that it was John Horst's call.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Because Matt Velasquez of JS Online tweeted out a little bit of a conversation that he had with Wes Edens tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read it? Did you see
no.
any of that?
Go ahead.
He goes, quote, "We have a great relationship with Giannis. Giannis called me this afternoon."
This is Wes Edens?
This is Wes Edens to Matt Velasquez of JS Online. Mm-hmm. "Called me this afternoon. I have a good relationship with him. He's obviously in addition to being an incredibly talented basketball player, he's a very fine young man. He feels a lot of loyalty to Coach Kidd, and that's a wonderful trait. That's a great emotion for him to have, but Giannis wants to win as badly as anybody, including me, and I want to win pretty badly."
Okay.
Woo! Those are sparks right there.
Now look, I'm glad you want to win, Mr. Edens. So do I. I want to clarify something for those of you that listen to this post-game show and hear me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, talking on this show. Those of you that hear me on the Wendy's Big Show weekday afternoons from 2 to 6 something. I understand fully that Jason Kidd may not have been a great in-game coach. That Jason Kidd had his flaws. I get it. But I also want to sound like the old guy now, and I want to tell you something. I'm 41 years old. I've loved this team my whole life. I've had one season, one that I remember, where they were worth really anything. Yeah, you can talk to me about the 80s, and I remember that. I was a young kid, but it wasn't the same passion as a fan when you're a young kid as how it is when you get older and understand the ways of the world. Had one season, that's it. The big three, that's all I've had. Never have we had a superstar on this team at any point since Lew Alcindor. Never had a player that might be in conversation for best player in the NBA in a couple of years. We've never had that type of talent, certainly. Packers have. Bucks have not. My fear, and the reason why I did not ask for Jason Kidd to be fired in all of this, was around that individual. There is a lot at stake here, as far as I'm concerned, about the future of this franchise. Now, Wes Edens can tell me, well, he gets it. Well, there are quotes from ESPN from Jason Kidd saying that Giannis called him 15 minutes before Jason Kidd was notified that he was going to get fired. Now, does that mean he saw Wojo's tweet that they were firing Jason Kidd and called Kidd? Which, by the way, way to go, telling Wojo before you told your head coach. That's brilliant. But anyhow, so you decide that your superstar is fine. He'll be all right. Loyalty's a great trait. You better hope that loyalty is stronger than what you think it is, and he doesn't bring this up on his way out the door later. Because then you're going to look like the sucker at the end of the day. All I'm concerned about now is who the next head coach is going to be. And I don't care who hires him. I don't care if John Horst hires him. I don't care if Edens hires him, Lazary, Jamie Dimon, the janitor at the Bradley Center. I don't care who hires the next head coach. You better not screw this up and cost us Giannis. That's it. That's all I got to say. And hashtag fire kid people, all you guys, you're all on my list too. Every one of you. Everyone. Leave your little fire kid icons on your Twitter accounts too. That way I know who you are if this goes wrong. Don't take them down. Leave them up there for about 3 years. So that way I can remember who every one of you are. Again, I don't disagree about why you wanted him fired. I get it. I understand all the arguments. But my deal is Giannis, plain and simple. I don't really care about anybody else on this roster. The only one I care about is him and keeping him as long as humanly possible. You tell me to settle down. Don't worry about it. Okay. Let me tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about they're going to go hire Jeff Van Gundy. Now you say, why would they do that? Because this organization is littered with Madison Square Garden people. People from New York. It's littered with them. It's all over. They're all over the organization. Jeff Van Gundy was the head coach of the New York Knicks. Jeff Van Gundy has those ties and very well may know some of these people in this organization already and have that bond and relationship. Here's my fear about Jeff Van Gundy. He yells a lot. How's that going to play with Giannis? Think that's going to rub him the right way? Think Giannis is going to buy into Jeff Van Gundy? What do you think other players in the league will tell him about Jeff Van Gundy? Think he'll be positive? Probably not. He's going to the All-Star game as Giannis. Fizdale is going to be a hot topic, I'm sure, from guys like LeBron, who are going to be selling Giannis on getting his ownership to hire Fizdale to be their head coach. And hopefully, if that is the case and that does happen, that relationship is solid and this team plays well and wins. Because now as an ownership group and an organization, you've pushed all your chips in and said, Giannis, we know more than you, we know better than you, and we'll prove ourselves to you. Now you have to be right. And if you're not right, bye-bye. I hope you're right. Because the guy that drafted him is gone. Kid, who developed him far more than anybody else has in his career, he's now gone. When you hire a new head coach, I would imagine Sweeney is gone. His other right hand. That's a lot of change in a couple of years' time for a young guy like Giannis. It's a lot of change. You better be right. That's all I'm going to say. 109-105, Bucks over the Suns. I'm done with my little monologue. We'll take your calls after this. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan.
You just made the list!
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
.109, .105, Bucks get the win over the Phoenix Suns tonight. Let's go inside the box. John Hanson, 30 minutes, 4 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 10 points, 6 boards, 1 assist, 3 steals, 1 block, and 2 turnovers. Chris Middleton, 39 minutes, 13 of 19 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3-point range, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 35 points for Middleton, getting to be the star tonight without Giannis in the game. 6 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 turnovers. Eric Bledsoe, 33 minutes, 6 of 13 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3-point range, 7 of 11 from the free throw line, 19 points, 7 assists, 3 boards, 4 steals, a block, and 4 turnovers. Malcolm Brogdon, 35 minutes, 11 of 14 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3-point range, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 32 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals, a block, and 5 turnovers. Sterling Brown, he needs to take more shots. 27 minutes, 2 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3-point range, 4 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 turnover. Off the bench tonight, pretty much nothing. Dellavedova, 25 minutes, including getting to play in crunch time tonight, 0 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 1, I should say, from 3-point range, 0 points, 6 assists, 3 boards, and 1 turnover. 21 minutes for Tony Snell, 1 of 3 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3-point range. He had 1 steal and 2 points. Jason Terry, 13 minutes, 0 of 2 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3-point range. He had 3 rebounds, 1 turnover, and 0 points. Marshall Plumlee, 8 minutes, 0 of 0 from the floor, 4 of 6 from the line, 4 points, 2 boards, and 1 block. Thon Maker, 10 minutes, 1 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 points, 1 board, 1 block, and 1 turnover. 53.5% for the Milwaukee Bucks from the field, 49.4% for the pathetic Suns from the field for them. 5 of 17 from 3-point range for the Bucks, 9 of 26 for Phoenix. Free throw line, 28 of 37 for the Bucks tonight. And then we got to the line 20 times at Phoenix, 18 of 20. That's where you won this basketball game. Rebounds, you got outboarded by Phoenix, 34 to 32. Assists, you only had 20 assists tonight, 31 for the Phoenix Suns tonight. They were moving the basketball. Turnovers, 17 by the Bucks. That's not good. 21 by Phoenix, and that's part of the reason why they're so bad. 109-105, Bucks over the Suns. Bucks now 2 games over 500, 24-22, 15-9 at home. The positive news about all of this, firing Jason Kidd stuff, is at least Prunty gets an easy part of the schedule now leading up to the All-Star break. So hopefully they can go. I've asked 2 people that were at the Bucks game tonight. Both people told me they didn't see Giannis on the bench. So Do with that what you
Maybe
want.
Maybe he was getting shots up at the practice center.
Well, I'm just telling you. They said they didn't see
getting
Giannis
a little treatment
on the
knee.
I have no idea where he was or why he wasn't there. I don't know if anyone will ask it, Jason Kidd where Giannis was. Not Jason Kidd, sorry. Joe Prunty. That's going to take me a while.
Force of habit, yeah.
Yeah. Ask Joe Prunty where Giannis was tonight and why he wasn't there. I mean, he is all about winning it all. So wouldn't you want to be there to support your team if you're all about winning?
Is the rumor that they fired him at a dinner I saw? Because they saw John Horst and Peter Fagan walking out in Whitefish Bay together, both on the phone, after it broke?
Not after a dinner. It was this afternoon at like 2:30, quarter to 3 in the afternoon.
I was
going
to say if it was, then he probably had to go get some food with Giannis because his dinner was spoiled after that conversation.
No. That's a poor attempt at humor. God, Tim's got to deal with you on the Brewers.
No, I'm just trying to be a little bit mean.
No.
I'm just trying to get under your skin because I know how fired up you are. You're too relaxed right now.
Yep. No, I'm not going to lose my cool. Go ahead. Where are we going next? Justin, North Carolina.
Yep. Starting out the show as always.
What's up, Justin?
What up, Spark? What up, baby? What's
happening?
Quick on the game tonight, man. Congrats to Coach Prunty on your first win as an actual head coach. Brogdon, you played well. Middleton, you played well as well. All those haters that call in and bash Middleton, please call in after me. I would love to hear it. So, Sparky, your joint you just dropped. We got a different kind of relationship. We're cool for a different thing off the whole 105.7 thing or whatever. But one thing that we share as a bond is first basketball player I ever saw in my life was Marcus Johnson. Then I grew up through the Ricky Pierce, Jack Sigma, and we'll go on to Lee Mayberry, Todd Day, and Eric Murdoch and those guys, right? That's how bad it was as a kid growing up. So, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because when I go back and forth with some of you guys that are a lot younger than us on Twitter that don't get how bad it is for the Bucks to lose, the one great year we had was 2001. That's it. That next year, we didn't even make the playoffs. We were the one seed at the All-Star break and did not make the playoffs. So now we fast forward to where we are current day. I'm jumping in my socks. We have Giannis Antetokounmpo. He'll probably finish the best player in the Bucks uniform if he could get a ring, because he'll be better, at least as good as Al Sender, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then we have Lazarine Edens over here in the ownership group, right? I would never question their decision as far as business is concerned, because they're billionaires. I'm not. They clearly are smart in business. But there's one thing that I know. The city that I grew up in, the city that I love, the team that I love, we do not get players like this at a blink of an eye. So I saw a lot of things online as far as don't let the players run the asylum, blah, blah, blah. You can't let them. No, we don't get guys like Giannis. This is a once-in-a-generational talent. If you want to know how bad it is, I have a best friend who's the best man at my wedding. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. Diehard Cavs fan. LeBron left them. Do we want to go through that in Milwaukee? And I don't think Giannis is the type of guy that's going to try to bully his way around or stuff like that. But the fact that
Kidd before they fired Kidd if he wanted to have Giannis try and save his job for him. He gave Kidd the opportunity. Obviously, Kidd must have said, no, don't do that.
Which is even more of a speaking to how professional this guy would as Kidd. And as Bucks fans, regardless if you wanted him fired, if you don't, you should still respect what the guy did for us. What is it, 13, 15-year wins the year before he got there?
Mm-hmm.
And he went to a playoff with a bunch of guys that Larry Drew couldn't even get 30 wins with.
Yep.
Sparky, when's the last time we've had a coach that had back-to-back playoff season?
Oh, it's been a while, probably. And again,
a decade tonight on the broadcast.
But do remember, none of this matters, Justin, and that's what everybody has to remember that's going to defend Jason Kidd. None of this matters to other people because – we have a superstar now, which should mean instant success. There should not be any type of struggles going forward. You have a superstar, win now, and if you don't win enough, then you're gone. And again, it's hard to argue against in-game strategy and so forth because he wasn't very good.
Right.
I'm not going to say he was because he wasn't. But team is awful, they're not awful. They're a basketball team that's 500 going up and down, just like he said in the last press conference. Went to here, went to there. As I said, they've got an easy stretch coming up here with Prunty. So hopefully they capitalize on it going into the All-Star break.
Let me make one last point. I'm going to let you go because I know I talked a long time, Sparky. So I made a call last week, and Dan Fenimore called after me, talked about the talent on the team. So I took some time. I watched a lot of videos. Cause, I watched the games over again because during the day in North Carolina, there's not much to do in snowstorms. And D was right. So we have Middleton, we have Giannis, and we have Bledsoe. After that, and Brogdon. Brogdon's pretty talented. But when you look at pound for pound, Giannis kind of makes up that talent difference. You look at that bench is pretty anemic right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Kidd has done a great job. And then think about losing Kelly, not having the opportunity to coach with Giannis, Parker, and
Middleton
together.
And now Bledsoe.
And now Bledsoe. He's done a good job. So for people, fire Kidd. I know Bart Winkler is all on the fire Kidd, and he thinks that he jinxed it into happening. But that's just foolish talk, man. And some of these guys, them younger guys, Sparky, they need to talk to you to understand what the 90s were like, bro.
No. Don't do that. I don't want to be that guy. No. Because then I'm going to be like a 60-year-old Packer
no,
fan.
Then you're a 70s and 80s Packer fan.
No, I'm not doing that. Thanks
they
for the call.
I'll tell them about the 90s.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
All about the 90s.
All right, Justin, take it. No, I don't want to do that. I'm just telling you why I am where I'm at. That's all. Now, again, there are those of you that believe doesn't matter. They'll get a new coach, and if they win, Giannis will love them. Well, they've been in the playoffs 3 or 4 years. You better hope they don't get a new coach and they go backwards next year with better talent, because you would assume the talent will be pretty good going into the new arena next year, that they will do whatever it takes to put a good roster on the floor, and then they better be better than they are now. Going into next year, I will be shocked if the bench is as bad as it is now next year. On paper, talent-wise, there's just no way it's going to be that bad. If they keep Jabari Parker and Middleton and Bledsoe and Giannis, and they're all healthy at the start of the season, that's more than Jason Kidd has ever had in his coaching career. So you should be in a better position at that from that standpoint alone. And if you're able to get a center that's some type of physical specimen, maybe not physical specimen, but it has some girth to him, has some size to him that can rebound and bang inside, kind of like you had in Greg Monroe, that can grit you rebounds and kind of help out underneath, that also would help. Whoever the new head coach is going to be next year is going to have a more talented roster, more than likely, than what they have right now. That's my guess. And of course, expectations should be that they do better with a more talented roster than what Kidd has had this year. But we'll see. 109-105, Bucks over the Suns. We'll take a quick time. I'll get to a sports flash. I know we haven't taken all but Justin, but we'll get to you. If you're on hold, coming up next, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know what's nice? It's nice having kids. Because you can go home. You can go home, play with the kids, kind of just forget about all this crap.
Right.
And then you walk back into the studio and immediately get put back into bed.
Well, because you
know that happened,
see,
right?
See a kid.
I told Blair, right, who was in here before, produced your Hot Stove Weekly Show with Josh Hader. How was Hader?
He was on a golf course. He was a little bit spacey.
You sure that's the reason? Anyways, so Admirals, yep. Setter Ice was after that, and Blair was... producing both those shows, and he was in here. I just said, so you know, I'm in a bad mood. Just warning you now, in case I say something dumb, you know. He's like, that's all right, I'm leaving. Good. So.
Good, get out of here.
That's fine. Bucks won tonight. Neat shot of the game here, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, 109-105, Bucks over the Suns. Baby Tausch picks the highlight for shot of the game. Go ahead, baby. Let's play.
It was the first of two Chris Middleton fadeaways to put it on ice.
Back to Middleton. Height advantage on Kanan. Middleton. 31. He joins Brogdon in the 30 club tonight.
I'm pretty sure your phone's ringing if you want to grab it. Yeah. You didn't hear it through that whole highlight, really? Or is that an alarm? Was that a phone call or an alarm?
That was an alarm.
That was an alarm?
Mm-hmm.
To tell you we're doing the Bucks postgame show?
No, it was an alarm to say put in the podcast after the show.
God. Holy crap. That's what I'm dealing with. He has to set alarms to remind him how to do his job. That is not a good
sign. See, I'm starting to learn. Starting to learn, Sparky.
Just, okay, that's good. No, we're going in the right direction. It's fine. Not going to criticize him. 109-105, Bucks over the Suns tonight. 35 points for Chris Middleton, 32 for Malcolm Brogdon. both with huge nights tonight. 19 for Eric Bledsoe as well, with 7 assists and 4 steals. Back to the phones we go. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM. The Fan. Where are we going next, baby Tosh?
We're going to go out to Nashville. Say hello to a guy that used to be on the sound off line, Big Marco.
Hey, what's happening, Sparky?
You happy?
I guess I'm okay with Kid being gone. I mean, he got salty about not being the GM, you know, because his boys, Lazary and Edens, wouldn't give him the job. So after then, you know, he pretty much lost the team, you know, pretty much excommunicated himself with Parker. But, you know, I'm just basically calling tonight because I still feel that this organization is incompetent. I mean, you got to sit that back. I'm going to be very clear when I say this. You know, poaching somebody's coach, giving up draft picks, you know, when we're sitting there needing to gain talent, you know, our ownership, you know, can't even keep their story straight. You know, they're always, you know, leaking something or doing something scandalous. I mean, they've been accused of being slumlords. You know, one of them did his, you know, in the Weinstein scandal. The new arena is small. I mean,
new arena is huge.
It's always been here in Milwaukee. You know, if we win, the fans will come. I don't understand having a smaller arena. I mean, I was in Milwaukee, you know, 3 weeks ago over Christmas.
Did you see the arena?
It just looked smaller. I did see the arena.
It's gigantic.
No, man, dude, it's smaller.
Oh, my God.
It looks big on the outside because guess what, Sparky? I hate to tell you this, but the owners of the Milwaukee Bucks are doing the same thing that the Green Bay Packers are doing.
What?
It's a land grab.
No, they're going to make a bunch of money
it's
in that arena.
Grab. Dude, they don't care about basketball. Okay. If they care about basketball, dude, we should have top-tier talent, dude, at the trade deadline. If they don't get anybody big...
Okay, Big Marco, I got to go. Call me back another night. I don't need you tonight. No. Another night. They play Friday night next?
Yeah.
Call back Friday.
So back out to the phones?
No. I'm going to take a timeout. Brian Anderson, play-by-play guy with the Brewers, does TNT work. Love Brian Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really solid, good dude. Tweets out, coaching decisions, not my biz. But Joe Prunty with the Bucks is the, capital letters, real, period, deal, period. Known him since our days with the Spurs, was always amazed by the full breadth of his NBA brain. Another from the Pop Tree. Could be a great one if given an authentic chance to build a nest and lead. The last line is the key line. Could be a great one if given an authentic chance to build a nest and lead. Now, I don't believe this is an authentic chance at all. I don't know what y'all think, but I'm not buying into it. I like Joe Prunty. I'd be fine if Joe Prunty was the new head coach going forward after this. I'd have zero problems with it. None. I think he's a smart dude. I think he gets down with it. I think he can relate to players. I like Prunty a lot. I'd be fine if Prunty's the new head coach. Totally fine. Now, I want him to change the defense, but I'd be fine with him as new head coach. I'm down with Brian Anderson. The Popovich thing, I have no idea. I haven't known him long as... I've only known him since his time in Milwaukee here, but if he says he's that good, I'll go with you. Sure, no problem. Let's see. Willie, or at Canada Bucks, says, because somebody asked me about Vaughn not getting playing time. I said, I have no idea what Vaughn's done to not get playing time. And he responded back, Willie did. No idea what Vaughn has done to get playing time. He's not good. Glad the Bucks are moving on. I could be wrong about this one. I think they're going to look back and be like, dude, what happened? Why wasn't he playing more when he was here? I think that kid's going to blow up when he gets a chance somewhere else. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's got bad practice habits. Maybe he's got a bad attitude. Maybe he's got stuff going on that I don't know about. But that kid is really, really talented. And I just don't see how in your early 20s, you just throw it away and go, yeah, all that talent we see, yeah, we're done with it. We're going to move on. We'll see. That's all I'm going to say. We will see how this plays out with Rashad Vaughn on another basketball team going forward. Maybe he doesn't get a team. Maybe he ends up in the Gatorade League next year and has to work his way back in. I just think at some point or another, I think he's going to be pretty good, providing he's got the work ethic and the right attitude. And that's
a big if.
Right, and that I don't know. He very well may not. He may think very highly of himself, doesn't think he has to practice all that hard, doesn't think he has to put in the work, and therefore the coaching staff just kind of tunes him out and puts him to the side and ignores the fact that he's there. Maybe that's what's going on. Not sure. Where to next, baby Tosh?
Justin in California.
What's up, Justin?
Hey. What do you want me to talk about? You want me to talk about the kid thing, or you want me to talk about tonight's game?
I don't care, man. You called me.
Okay, I'm not in, listen, Justin,
I'm not in a great mood. So you talk about whatever you want to talk about concerning the Bucks. Just don't go off on the Brewers or the Packers or something.
Okay. In terms of the kid firing, I'm all for it. I hear a lot of the I don't want to say old heads, but like
yes, no, that's right. You're right.
People who are oh, you guys don't know what it was like. We've been through. I mean, like, if you guys, I keep saying this, if you guys want to accept like mediocrity, that's on you. If you like losing in the first round, that's on you. And people, I see someone calling in saying Jason Kidd was, he did a good job. Okay. Everyone who watched the Bucks knows Jason Kidd was a terrible, terrible Exodo, Gabe's coach. He was terrible in game. He looked asleep on the bench. He wasn't calling plays. Our defensive scheme was terrible. I rarely saw adjustments. Like, our rotations were awful. Like, he would play Jason Terry over Sean Kilpatrick and Rashawn.
What happened tonight?
What do you mean what happened tonight? When we won.
Did Jason Terry play tonight?
Yeah. I played
13 minutes.
I think Pruney did okay, but still his rotations to me were bad. Like, no way Jason Terry should be playing over Sean Kilpatrick and Rashawn Vaughn. Like, that's terrible. That's a terrible, terrible coach move.
All right, very good.
But other than that, I saw more plays. I didn't see a lot of ISOs. I thought defensively we did okay. I think going forward we'll be okay. Like, if winning is – like, I think this move by manager was correct. Giannis needs to get on board with this. If winning is important, as he says, then he should be fine with moving on from Jason Kidd.
It all depends who the next head coach is and if he gets down with him. Remember, this is the same guy – that didn't know who Jason Kidd was, got yelled at by Jason Kidd and said, who the hell is this? Googled him, saw his credentials and said, holy crap, I better listen to him. So if you think that Giannis isn't going to go in doing research and talking to people about whoever they hire next, you're crazy. And if it's a guy like Jeff Van Gundy, who doesn't have a great track record with players in this league, if that's who they bring in next, that would be horrible. Absolutely horrible. Horrible.
He would go completely against what that kid's philosophy is.
Well, maybe. And maybe he'd toughen up Giannis
that's what he needs.
And change his spirit and so forth. They play a hell of a lot better defense with Van Gundy. I'm pretty sure of that. So that I'm pretty sure of. But again, like I said at the beginning of the show, and I'll continue to say, yes, I understand how bad he was in game. Totally get it. I get it. That's not my issue. My issue is Giannis. That's it. That's all I care about. I don't care about anybody else. I don't want Giannis out of here in 2 or 3 years when his deal is up because Hammond's gone, Kidd's gone, Sweeney's going to be gone unless they hire somebody on that coaching staff as the next head coach. He's going to be gone. That's his other guy. And now he's left by himself looking around going, I don't know anybody. That's what concerns me. That's what I'm worried about. Maybe it's all for naught. You all know Giannis better than I do, apparently. We all say, oh, he'll be fine. Okay. Well, I don't know Giannis like you all apparently know Giannis that listen to this show. So I'll take your word that he'll be fine. I hope you're right. Because we do know he is very, very loyal, as does Wes Edens. You said he's very, very loyal, and he appreciates that trait. Well, you better hope he's not too loyal, because if he's too loyal, he's going to tell you to go take a flying leap off a short pier and go play for another team. And then we can talk about loyalty. Just saying. But for your sake, you better hope he's not too loyal, because it's going to totally backfire if it is. All right, take another call. Where are we going next?
Brady in Germantown.
I feel sorry for Bucks fans leaving, thinking this was going to be a happy postgame show. I apologize. Check back Friday night. What's up?
German
What's
fun.
Up, Sparky?
What's All up?
All right, so Jason Kidd, I do not believe it's fair that we got rid of him without Jabari being healthy, playing with Giannis and Eric Bledsoe.
Are you enjoying listening to yourself on the radio, or are you going to turn the radio off?
Sorry. That's my fault.
Yeah, it is your fault. Yeah, but that's okay. Go ahead. Finish now.
All right. So I just don't think that Eric Bledsoe and Giannis are going to combine for any points without Jabari. Eric Bledsoe is a showman. He's he's not a scorer. He's a showman. And that's what him and Jabari are going to combine with Giannis.
So when Jabari comes back to go with Bledsoe, Middleton, and Giannis, how much better is this team?
So much better. So much better.
Yeah.
We're looking at 3-4 seed in the East.
Uh-huh.
Starting where we are now. But I, like I said before, it's not fair that we got rid of Jason Kidd without that lineup.
Agreed. Thanks for the call. I don't disagree. People were getting mad and going, how could you predict 52 wins and not move off of it? Well, I'll tell you what I said, and I'm going to continue to tell you what I said. When I made the prediction, go back if our podcasts are still up on our website and listen. I said they would be about seven games over, when Jabari came back from his injury. Now, I thought he'd come back in January, middle to end of January, I thought, which apparently is not going to happen, but that's what I thought they were going to do. And then at that point, they would get on a big run, and that's how they would get on their run to 50, 52 wins. That's what I thought was going to happen. And if they do what they're supposed to between out of the All-Star break, they should be seven games over at the All-Star break, right around the time Jabari comes back, and they get on a run. Now, they're going to have to win something stupid between out of that, like 29 games or something crazy like that. So maybe 52 won't happen, but they're still in a position to have home court at the first round. With or without Jason Kidd as head coach, once Jabari Parker comes back. We'll have to wait and see. I want to see what Parenti does with his defensive scheme with Sweeney. I want to see what he does. We're going to run the same stuff? We're going to change it up? Are you going to have a different philosophy on defense and do something different? Will you do that? Will you run offensive sets or more offensive sets than they ran before? There's a lot of stuff he's going to have the opportunity to do knowing Kidd's not coming back for the rest of the year. And he's going to get to coach in the playoffs, folks. So he's going to get playoff experience, too. If this team wins a round in the playoffs, you tell Joe Parenti you're not our guy?
He wins 52 games and you try to say that he's not our guy?
Well, yeah.
I mean, if he goes on that run.
If they win a playoff series, how do you look at Joe Parenti and say you're not our guy? You're going to say, well, it was all Giannis. It wasn't really Parenti. Then how the hell are you ever going to judge a coach again? If it's always going to be, well, if they don't win, it's not Giannis's fault, fire the coach. If they do win, well, it's not really the coach's gig, because that's what you get when you tell these people that don't like Kidd, well, they were the playoffs. Yeah, so what? Anybody could have coached that team to the playoffs. So they refuse to give credit for that. So now if it goes the other way and they win around the playoffs, are you going to give credit to the guy that gets them there the rest of this year, or are you just going to, you know, backhand it and say, nope, I want a different guy. Bring me somebody else that I know. No idea. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Bucks come up victorious tonight, 109-105 over the Phoenix Suns. Let's get the defensive play of the game.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
109-105, Bucks over the Phoenix Suds. Let's see what Highlight Baby Tausch picked out for the defensive play of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
It was the capper, 105-100, Brogdon to Middleton.
Well, the Bucks do everything they can to foul up the inbound. Devin Booker working with Monroe. Double team out on Booker. The Bucks take it away. Turnover number 22 forced by Milwaukee in game one. With 2 of 2, they forced 29. So that has been a huge story in these two games.
A great defensive adjustment, sending two defenders at Devin Booker, not allowing him to ISO and pick you apart.
Middleton again, 33 for Chris Middleton. The Bucks lead by 5, 24, and change remaining.
It's too bad for Jay Triano, the Suns head coach. Nice dude. Got no chance. Got absolutely no chance of winning with that team the rest of the year. But take the gig if you can get it. 109-105, Bucks over the Suns. Take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Take more of your calls. I know you're on hold. I see you. I may get some of your tweets too. Twitter is just totally on fire and blowing up over this Jason Kidd firing. Joe Parenti, interim coach for the rest of the season. If you miss it on Fox Sports Wisconsin, the press conference earlier today, 5:30, quarter to six, your general manager, John Horst, said, well, he'll coach tonight. We'll have a plan in place by Friday, what we're going to do going forward. Fast forward 2 to 3 hours, and the plan is in place. He's the interim coach for the rest of the year. Yeah. Back after this on The Fan.
Hey, guys. This is Jan Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, and you're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game show here on The Fan.
Yeah. There's always something unexpected that changes the game. Here's tonight's X Factor of the Game.
Brought to you by Bryant Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in six junior college sports. Learn more at bcsbobcats.com.
32 points for Malcolm Brogdon tonight in a 109-105 victory. Your X Factor of the Game. I don't think anybody saw Brogdon scoring 32 tonight. Milton did have 35. To go along with six boards, three assists, a couple steals, a couple turnovers, but 32 from Brogdon, 11 of 14, 3 of 4 from three-point range, 7 of 8 from the line, four boards, two assists, three steals, a block. He did have five turnovers, but that was clearly your X factor. Certainly one of the bench that combined for 9 points.
Could you talk about a spark to a guy that now knows that he can be a leader on the team?
Brogdon? He should go back to the bench.
In favor of who?
Sterling Brown.
Okay, I like that one. As long as he's getting the more minutes.
When Giannis is back, it should be Giannis, Middleton, Henson, Bledsoe, and Brown. And Brogdon should be the offense that comes off the bench at this point. Because, as you can see, they have nothing on the bench. Maker, Plumlee, Dellavedova. Snell has shown he can be the guy in certain games, but he only took three shots tonight, and that tends to happen.
He seems scared to shoot, so yeah, you Jason can't count
Terry,
on him tonight.
DJ Wilson, Rashad Vaughn, Sean Kilpatrick. Kilpatrick still can't get off the bench, nor can Vaughn. DJ Wilson doesn't deserve to be off the bench. So, again, they need Jabari Parker back. I don't care what y'all say. And the other thing about this whole thing is the report's out this afternoon that Jabari and Kidd weren't on good terms. All right. Now, see, this is where I have issue. So you got an army of people trying to run this organization. You've got the owners, you've got Horst, you've got Fagan, you've got Kidd. Everybody apparently has their hands in the pot trying to figure this thing out. So amongst all of those brains that you have, all pretty smart ones, you couldn't figure out how to mesh. Baby Tosh, can you answer that hotline, please? I might be a
yes, player. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
between that, you couldn't figure out how to make that relationship work? You couldn't figure it out. Y'all just threw your hands up in the air, walked away and said, oh, yeah, that's just not going to work. We give up. Come on, man. I have a hard time buying that nobody could have sat down with those two and figured out their differences and got them back on the same page again. And it also makes you wonder about all the Jabari Parker rumors over the course of the last summer or so, about him being involved in trade rumors. Was that Jason Kidd leading the bandwagon for that one? Is that how that ended up happening? Or were the people above Jason Kidd, well, who really knows who was above Jason Kidd, but was it other people in the organization also not in the Jabari Parker bandwagon besides Jason Kidd? And does Jabari Parker know who really is on his side in that organization, if anybody? Anybody know? Because really, at the end of the day, the only one that really has to be on his side is Edens. If Edens is on his side, Jabari Parker is safe. He'll get paid a ton of money, and he'll be a Milwaukee Buck. If not, then he's probably going to get a nice offer somewhere else if he plays well in the second half, and he's going to be gone. And then Middleton and Bledsoe are unrestricted free agents after next year, and they're probably both going to be gone, and there's Giannis all by himself with whoever this new splashy name head coach is going into his second year. With Giannis with, what, 2 years left on his deal after that at that point? 109-105, Bucks over the Phoenix Suns. Where to next, baby Tosh?
Northside and Trell.
What's up, Trell?
Oh, no, Sparks.
I don't know, man.
I 1,000% agree with you, man. I couldn't say it better. That's been my concern the whole time. And all these people, all these fire kid people and these people that are so great at analyzing coaches and their in-game plays, these guys should be GMs. But they're talking about, oh, Giannis is fine. Giannis love winning. For one, we don't know the next coach that they hire is going to be able to win with this team. And we don't know for sure if John Horst is going to be able to assimilate the talent that he's going to need for this team to win at a high level. I think this team, I think the era for them as far as them losing in this, they got to win big. All this first and second round playoffs, I think this has got to be a perennial contender in the East the next 2-3 years.
Agreed.
In the contract.
Yep.
If that doesn't happen, if they're still getting past the first round, getting bumped from the second round, I think he's gone. I really do. And if everybody talks about loyalty, the guy who's rapping him is gone, and the guy who developed him is gone.
And his right hand is Sweeney, and he's going to be gone if they get a new head coach.
And then you get a new head coach, and the guy who's with him every day is probably going to at least go on for the Bucks. I don't know if Jimmy Johnson's going to work out anything, whatever, but he's going to be gone as far as having any input on the coaching. So I think John Horst and this organization, these owners, have put a ton of pressure on themselves to be able to deliver. Hopefully they'll be able to. And I'm confused, Sparky, because I had started to believe by reading a lot of these reports and a lot of these tweets from different, you know, national media. I thought, well, maybe John Horst figured that Kidd wasn't his guy, and he just said, okay, well, I'm going to fire him now, because if I keep him on and he does turn the team around and they happen to win a first-round series, how am I going to be able to get out from, you know, fire? So I said, okay, I can understand that. That's what he did. But then for a guy to come to a press conference and say, oh, we're going to make these decisions coming Friday, we'll have a plan. And then a couple hours later at game time, you're saying, oh, Joe Pronti is going to be the coach for the remainder of the season? Like, what happened? Is the owner getting your ear and saying,
right,
we're keeping Pronti for the remainder of the season?
Yep.
Like, I'm absolutely confused.
Correct.
I don't know.
That is why
what's going on.
I said at the beginning of the year, just – between the interview last week, what happened today, how he handled both situations, it's about as bottom rung as you can get from me. I'm very, very concerned about where this organization is going. Let's hope we don't turn into the Knicks. That's what I'm hoping for. Let's hope that's not what happens. They had Carmelo Anthony all that time, and the bumbling owner couldn't figure it out and kept screwing it up time after time after time. Let's hope that we don't end up like the New York Knicks. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for the call, Trill. I got to roll here. Got to get to Sports Flash. Let's take one more call.
Phil in Cedarburg, you're next.
What's up, Phil?
Oh, hey, Sparky. Yeah, I can see why you're a little bummed out, but I got to say, I really don't know if Kidd is a good coach. You know, we've watched him for, what, 3.5 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have no idea. I have no idea if he's a good coach.
No, he's not a very good in-game coach. I'll tell you that much. He's not.
So then what is he good at? If he's not good at the in-game coach, what is he good at?
He's good at providing experiences for players off the floor, bringing in Garnett, bringing in Stockton, setting up that meeting with Kobe, with Giannis, all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. All those relationships he has.
All of those relationships are huge. Letting Giannis learn how to play point guard and helping him develop as far as bringing the ball up and not just sticking him at a forward position. And letting him there to die. I mean, he Middleton, look at Middleton's numbers. Those have also developed from year to year since he's been on the Milwaukee Bucks too. That also has happened. So, again, look, I'm not saying that he's a great coach or anything of the sort. I'm just saying my fear in all of this is what happens next. Who's the next hire? And the next hire is Prunty. I'm fine with it. Let's roll with Joe Prunty and see what happens.
Sure.
But if the next head coach is somebody outside the organization, you get rid of Sweeney, who, again, I can't stand the guy's defense, haven't for 3 years, so that's not going to hurt my feelings. But he is Giannis's right-hand guy. So if you then get rid of Sweeney, Giannis is left by himself with a whole new coaching staff he doesn't know, have to adjust to, and then...
Giannis doesn't know anything else, though, too, right? I mean,
correct.
He doesn't know anything else. He might love the next coach.
He might.
He might be like, you know, so, you know, it's just the unknown you're scared of, right?
But the other, correct, I hate the unknown. And the other factor that worries me is going into this All-Star game, you're going to have all these guys in his ear talking about who they shouldn't hire, who they should hire. You don't want to play for this guy. You want to play for that guy. If they do you like this, screw them. You should leave when it's your time. They're all going to be in his ear.
Giannis could force a trade anytime. He's got 3.5 years, but... He could force it anytime he wants.
I don't think he'll do that. Thanks for the call. I could be wrong. I don't think he'll do that. He'll play his contract out one way or the other, no matter what happens. He's not that type of guy. But now it's put up or shut up, Bucks. I mean, now that's what it is now. If I'm Giannis, okay, that's cool. My GM's gone. My head coach is gone. You're probably gonna get rid of my right hand guy. I'm not an idiot. So now it's put up or shut up time. Now y'all are on the clock. Now you have to show me what it's all about. We'll see if they can deliver. All right, before we get to a sports flash, let's do Ruler of the Backboards here on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now it's time to pick the Ruler of the Backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the Ruler of Pizza.
All right, ruler of the backboard tonight. Normally, every night, it is our guy, Giannis. With no Giannis tonight, ruler of the backboard leading the way rebound-wise. We have a tie again. 6 boards for John Henson, 6 boards
for Chris Middleton. Both of those rulers at the backboard. Again, that Frozen King cheese pizza with Palermo's. A half a pound of cheese. If you love cheese and you don't get this pizza, well, then you're a fool. That's your
thing's
own fault.
Insane.
That you're absolutely your fault.
You just layer it up with hot pepper flakes right after you pull it right out of
you're
the pizza
a hot pepper
oven.
Flake guy, yeah.
Oh, all over it.
Yeah.
That thing is money. I've told Anthony Mandela multiple times when I'm in here doing the show that's my first stop when
that's
I
your go-to
when I leave
pizza.
This. When I leave this place,
right.
I go straight over to the Pick and Save, grab one, leave.
I believe that. You're a single guy, so you're eating a lot of frozen pizza.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also a large guy.
I'm not a single guy, but we eat a ton of frozen pizza. 109, 105 bucks over the sun. It's time now for your sports flash with Baby T.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE.
This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks get the win tonight. 109-105 over the Phoenix Suns. Now 24-22, 15-9 at home. 35-6 boards for Chris Middleton. Brogdon with his first 30-point game. 32 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals, 5 turnovers for Malcolm Brogdon. Bucks win 109-105. Interim head coach Joe Prunty announced for the rest of the season during the broadcast by John Horse, Bucks general manager. Here's what Joe Prunty had to say afterwards.
Good win tonight. Obviously, we're all proud of the way we battled tonight. A lot of very good efforts. Some of it that doesn't even show up statistically, but a good win. Guys should be proud of that one. And any questions?
How emotional was this
one in
the circumstances of the game
beforehand? It's a tough day. I mean, all the things that we talked about beforehand. But at the end of the day, our job is to go out and perform. We want to get the win. Every night we step on the floor, that's the goal. And it's, like I said, it's not a trick. There's certain things that we need to do. So like I said, not all of it showed up in the stat sheets, but one of the things tonight, like 18 turnovers, okay? That makes it difficult. We forced 22, so that helps. But, you know, at the end of the day, our job is to go out and get a win, and that's what we did tonight.
Suns start the game on a 10-2 run. Is there any concern in that moment that maybe guys aren't going to get up for this one?
In coaching, there's concerns all the time. Yeah. So 10-2, the one thing that's on your side is you got about, if I can remember when the time, I think it was at the 9, maybe a little under 9. So at that stage of the game, if I can do my math correct, we got about 44 minutes, right? So you got time to recover. Wasn't the start we wanted, but we know that there's a lot of things that are going to take place the rest of the way. So we made, you know, got everybody regrouped and, you know, made it. It was a very good first quarter, you know, for us overall.
Malcolm, career high 32 points. Did you see him being more aggressive offensively?
Well, I thought he did a real nice job of taking the shots that were presented to him. I thought he made some nice drives, some very tough and very good finishes. Obviously, he and Chris shot the ball extremely well. But, you know, one of the things that happens in the game is each night is somebody could get it going. Tonight, Malcolm and Chris did. I thought some of the shots that we got for other guys were still quality shots. You know, some of the threes that I could think of, Tony had a left wing three that was a good shot. Sterling had a left corner three that was a good shot. We can go up and down the list. But, you know, we want our guys to play together. We want them to share the ball. We'd like more assists if we were just looking at statistics. When we were at our best, the ball did move or we found a matchup and we were able to exploit that.
Coach, it really looked like, right here, really looked like the guys were having fun down the stretch. How do you just maintain that healthy team chemistry after such a sudden coaching change?
Our guys work and they're into each other in terms of they work together. So I kind of stopped my sentence, but they work together. They work very hard. They pull for each other. They stand up and cheer for one another. And that's across the board. You can even look at somebody like Marshall Plumlee. This is a thing that doesn't show up in a stat sheet. There is an assist, one pass to another guy. He's not involved in the play, and he is screaming, great pass, great pass. And he just joined the team. So it's something that, that didn't start today. That's been going on, you know, for the season. This group will pull for each other. That's what we need to do. That's what we have to do every day is pull for each other, and that's how you get wins in this league.
All right, there is Joe Prunty, 109-105, Bucks over the Suns. Let's get back to some more phone calls here. Where are we going next, baby Tosh?
Let's go out to Charles on the north side.
What's up, Charles?
Hey, good evening, Sparky.
Evening.
Yeah, obviously a big day with Kid being fired. A couple of press conferences ago, I think it was his third, well, three games back, when he gave his, win two, lose two. I think everyone who's been watching Jason Kidd or listening to him for the last 3.5 years, that press conference was a little more telling. I think it was a little more indicative of him being on the hot seat behind the scenes. And we don't know the inner workings of the power struggle with the high brass. You know, I mean, Hammond, let's be honest. I mean, Hammond drafted Giannis. Kidd comes in. We all kind of assume Kidd kind of takes this control behind the scenes without the title. Then Hammond gets booted. You know, and then, okay, then Kidd takes the reins of the horse, and then he kind of doesn't do much with it. You know, that's the way I look at it. I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened behind the scenes. You know, but aside from
what we know that happened is Giannis called Jason Kidd and offered to try to save his job 15 minutes before they told Kidd because Giannis knew they were going to fire him, which means there was a team meeting or something of the sort. Let me tell you a tweet by Joe Zanzola from earlier tonight. Very strange exchange between Eric Bledsoe and Gary Wolfle on the Kidd firing. Bledsoe, I didn't even know Gary Wolfle until when? Bledsoe, until you just told me. He's like, you didn't know? He's like, no. Wolfle goes, you do. I did it. Wolfle, I thought they had a team meeting. Bledsoe, I didn't know nothing about that. I missed it, I think.
Weird.
Yeah, but hey, man, this organization, woo, they're doing it right. All right, thanks for the call. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me.
I really thought when you came in tonight that you were going to swear on the air.
No.
I mean, I know you're a consummate professional, but you were fired up when you walked in here.
Nope.
I thought you were going to be ranting and raving.
Nope. No, because again, this wasn't like I thought Kidd did everything right and got screwed. Mm-hmm. That's not what I think happened. I never said that is what happened. Concerned about Giannis. That's all my concern is. That's my only concern concerning this Bucks basketball team going forward. I am concerned about the leadership of this basketball organization and what the heck they're thinking and doing currently and what they've been thinking and doing from the beginning. Going all the way back to the Jason Kidd fiasco when Larry Drew got stabbed in the back. Going all the way back to that when this all started. That's when the first red flag came up of, do they really know what they're doing here or are we learning on the fly? Now, they apologized for that after and said they screwed up.
Yep.
Which is good. I'm fine with that. I'm.
It's ruthless business practice, but it's business practice.
The next hire is maybe the biggest hire since they got Luol Cindor in the draft. Might be the biggest decision this organization's had since they got Luol Cindor. Just saying, might be. Take one more call here, then we'll go inside the locker room. What do you got?
Art in downtown.
What's up, Art? You're next on the fan.
Hey, Sparky. You really just said it, and what leaves a bad taste in the mouth of any, I think, with anyone, is the fact that Giannis is calling Jason Kidd, and there's reports that he's being fired before he knows that he's being fired. That just can't happen. I mean, it can't. The players went out; they're professional tonight, but the organization has got a responsibility to be professional as well. And you know, we all want to back the team, back the organization, but when it's done like that, it makes it real difficult.
Well, totally agree. All right, thanks for the call. And again, that's a guy that was a coach at a pretty high level. I mean, he knows how it's supposed to go, obviously, as does everybody else.
Maybe a question for you guys to discuss on the big show tomorrow, because I'd like to get all the opinions in on it. Do you trust this ownership group right now, from what you've seen of them, more or less than Herb Cole? Because what you described to me earlier, that if they really like somebody, they're going to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ersan Ilyasova written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I
there's more similarities seemingly coming up than not.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Herb Cole tended to hire guys that had a little bit more traction and a little bit more proven track record than what they did with John Horst. As far as been around a little bit longer, mm-hmm. or had been in his organization for 20-plus years like Larry Harris. Ernie Grunfeld was a proven general manager in the league when they went and got Ernie Grunfeld. Then they got the star-studded hire in George Karl and made him the highest-paid coach in sports or whatever it was at that point, gave him a share of the basketball team and everything else. He obviously made some bad hires along the way, too, but yeah, I don't know. They both feel eerily similar, I guess, to a certain degree. The difference is that this regime had John Hammond hit a home run with Giannis, and now they got to make sure not to screw it all up. That really is your only responsibility. Just don't screw it up. You were given a superstar. Don't screw it up. Because there's no guarantee you'll ever get another one while you own this team going forward. 109-105 Bucks over the Suns. We'll come back. We'll go inside the Bucks locker room here on The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, the ruler of taste. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks win 109-105 over the Phoenix Suns. Gary Wolfel standing by. Before we get to him, let's hear from Malcolm Brogdon after his first 30-point game of his NBA career, 32 points tonight for Brogdon in the win.
Still going for a playoff, still trying to get a first series win.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't trade anybody. We didn't lose any talent. We still got all of our guys on the floor, so we need to make the playoffs. Our goals haven't changed.
Can you take us through when you got back into the locker room and the spill over there?
Oh, yeah. My teammates always celebrate me when last year when I got my triple-double this year. Tonight, my career high. But, you know, this is a great team, a great atmosphere. And, you know, that shows our camaraderie.
Have you spoken with Jason Kidd since what happened this afternoon?
Not yet.
All right, so there you go. Malcolm Brogdon after a 109-105 victory. Let's check in with Gary Wolfel.
Now, a Bucks postgame update from fan insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
All right, joining us now at the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is Gary Wolfel after a Bucks victory tonight. Gary, thoughts on what you saw tonight for the Bucks?
Nothing that overwhelming. They played obviously one of the worst teams in the league in the Phoenix Suns, and to me, it was just a ho hum game. I mean, everything focused around Jason Kidd.
Where was Giannis?
Pardon?
Where was Giannis?
They said he was at the game. I did not see him.
Nor did anybody else that I texted that was at the game tonight. So maybe he was in a private suite watching from up above versus being with his teammates. That better not have been the case, because that's not exact. I'm not going to be very happy. Because if everybody says he wasn't on the bench and he was there but just chose not to come out, I mean, I don't know. Not a big fan of that decision.
I mean, that to me shows a lack of maturity, you know? I mean, if that is indeed the case, I don't know. But he was nowhere to be around.
Yeah, but his teammates weren't the – wait. Hold on. His teammates weren't the one that fired Jason Kidd. Well, unless he thinks his teammates were responsible for getting Jason Kidd fired, then that's totally different. I mean, the owners were the ones that fired him. The general manager, those guys that were on that bench, they weren't the ones that fired Kidd.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you saying that Giannis was okay doing this?
No, he should have been on the bench. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you, because he should have been on the bench.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, he absolutely should have been. Yes.
I mean, my point is that, you know, that if that is the case, and I don't know if it is, I mean, that's just a lack of maturity. Immaturity. You know?
I was texting people at the game trying to find out if he was on the bench or not, and everybody I texted said they didn't see him. So if he was on the bench, people that were there covering the game for the media from a media standpoint obviously didn't see him. So I have no idea if he was there or not.
You know what? When you're a star, you got responsibilities too, and everybody wanted to talk to him before the game. Okay, nowhere to be found. Everybody wanted to talk to him after the game, nowhere to be found. You know, and it's like, come on, you know that you got to show some leadership and some poise and maturity, and he didn't do any of those.
And Eric Bledsoe didn't know kid got fired until you told him?
You believe that, right?
You've got to be kidding me.
No, he knew that. I mean, Sparky, you've been around a long time. Don't always believe what you hear or read, okay? He knew darn well that he had been fired. Everybody was informed of it way before that. So, you know, and I like Eric Bledsoe. I think he's a really good guy. But let's put it this way. He wasn't forthright on that conversation.
All right, fine. Let's assume that he knew then. So Giannis, according to reports, calls Kidd, offers to save his job. Kidd obviously must have said no at that point and just pretty much said, if they're going to fire me, they're going to fire me. Let's just move on with it. I say that the next hire the Bucks make is probably the biggest decision this organization has had to make since Lou Alcindor.
Since what?
Lou Alcindor was drafted.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it's monumental.
Because
if
they hire wrong, he's probably leaving.
Yeah, I mean, you know, compound with the fact that they're going to the new arena next year. They got to get this right, and they can't bring in a retread. They can't bring in anybody off the staff. I mean, they got to bring in somebody that's fresh, somebody that people can relate to, somebody that's successful.
Somebody the players can relate to or the fans?
Both.
I don't care about what the fans think. I really don't care at this point.
You know what? If they bring in a no-name coach, I think that it's not going to go over very well.
Nobody knew who Eric Spoelstra was before he took over the Heat.
That's true. I mean,
I'm just saying there are exceptions to every rule. I just pray to God it's not Jeff Van Gundy. That's the only person I'm really rooting against at this point.
Well, you know what? That would be, I would say, very slim.
Yeah.
I've been told that Jeff Van Gundy wants total control.
Well, what a shock. Anybody would want total control with John Horst as general manager because nobody trusts him. Look, and I can't.
John Horst is going to give up his GM duties, so he can't.
Well, I don't think it matters. He doesn't have to give up his GM duties. He would have to give up his final say. That's all. The Seahawks. This is common in the National Football League. You could give Jeff Van Gundy total control. He could still be general manager by title and do the scouting and all that other stuff, but Van Gundy gets to say at the end of the day. Either way, I don't want Jeff Van Gundy, and I got to go. Gary, have a good night. Bye-bye.
All right, sounds good.
There he is. Gary Wolf on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Hey, Bucks fans. Let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's, famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas.
All right, 109-105, Bucks get the win. Your Chili's MVB of the game. We'll do Chris Middleton, 35.6 boards, 3 assists, couple big shots at the end, Chili's MVB. All right, before we wrap it up, what do you got, baby Tosh?
Jared Dudley was tweeted at asking his thoughts on J-Kidd. Kidd put the franchise in the right direction. No player or coach wanted to come to Milwaukee before him. He helped make Giannis a star. He left it better than when he got the job. Different personnel, you're only as good as your talent and the adjustments you make. But the Bucks are good, but not elite. They need Jabari.
Yep, great. That's what I've been saying all year long. All right, have a good night, everybody. Bucks get it the win. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bucks talk all day long, starting with Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on a Bucks Tuesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.